Today's reading from the Gospels comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. You can find this on page 78 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." They remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord. If you were to risk the one life that you live on anything, what would it be? I suspect most of us would not bet our lives on our NCAA brackets this year, or on Punxsutawney Phil's weather predictions. Those haven't turned out so well. If we were to risk it all, to risk all that we have, it would be for something important, wouldn't it? Something with meaning, something with purpose, because our lives are just too valuable to throw away. But maybe there would be something that you can think of, something that would be worth just that big, old, risky gamble. Perhaps if we can use our imaginations, we can see a scenario in our minds. Now, maybe it's just those coffee shop kind of daydreams, you know, those days when you're at Starbucks and you're just kind of wondering, what is it that I'm trying to do here? I could be doing something else. Maybe we can see ourselves as heroes and heroines, risking our lives, betting our courage and our strength on overcoming impossible odds. There's no risk, there's no reward, right? And the greater the risk, the greater the reward. Can you see yourself finding the cure for some terrible disease? Maybe writing the book that hits the bestseller list and that also wows the critics for its insight into human experience? Can you see yourself advancing human knowledge in biology and chemistry and biblical studies and being recognized by your peers for all of your work? Can you see yourself creating the next piece of art that is going to hang down in the MFA? Or perhaps singing with the BSO at Symphony Hall? What would you risk to make that happen? What would you risk for that kind of immortality? Now, I know that many of us here would make and have made great sacrifices to achieve our goals. We've put relationships with spouses and with children on the line to move ahead in our careers. We've risked a lot for our education in terms of the financial burdens that we've acquired and losing some social capital along the way. We have stepped out into the wild blue yonder, pulling up our roots, setting forth into brave new worlds like Boston, all to pursue our dreams and our livelihood. And yet, whatever we've risked in these cases have been manageable risks, right? Challenging, to be sure, but not quite as risky as putting everything that we have into it. What would a real gamble on your life be? Wouldn't it be something that a good number of us would describe as rather foolhardy? I like to pose scenarios kind of like this in my ethics class, especially to sophomores. They get really wigged out by this, and I take kind of delight in it. I'm one of those kinds of teachers, you've probably realized by now. I want to get them to think about their moral obligations and what certain situations require of them. Suppose, for example, we are sitting here peacefully, we're having a wonderful Sunday morning Easter service, and we look out in the backyard over here, and we witness an assault happening. We size the situation up, and the attacker looks something like Bob Randolph, about 6'8", 250 pounds in all muscle. Does that describe Bob well? He's got some kind of a gun, too. Now, as your minister, I'm willing to run out there and put my life on the line for my friends and for strangers. It's kind of part of the job description. So I run out there before any of you can stop me, try to prevent this assault from going any further. Now, I'm 5'6". The attacker's got over about 100 pounds on me. Plus, I'm not even going to comment on the muscle. Plus a gun. So what do you think's going to happen? Now, unless that door is a phone booth, and I kind of magically turn into Superman on my way out the door, this is going to turn out to be a foolish gamble on my part. And the next time we're all sitting here in these pews, we're going to be singing different kinds of songs at my funeral. My life might be foolish, a foolish thing to risk for a stranger, especially if there are less risky options available. I should probably get Nate and Bob and Ryan and Jeremiah, and we'll try to take the guy together, right? Or call the police, get everyone out of harm's way. But if that person out there in duress were my wife, if it were Christy, that changes everything. Dale, if something were to happen to Lori and Morgan and Allie, I bet you'd be all in to protect them. I bet if something were happening to Abby, Nate's going to risk it all. I bet if something's happening to Kevin, I bet Suzanne is going to give everything she has. I bet if something were happening to Michael and Sierra, Amy and Ryan would risk everything. For those whom we love, we would risk all we have, including and especially our lives, if it meant protecting them, saving them from harm. And we would hardly have to give any thought about that kind of a gamble. Love doesn't make sensible, rational calculations about the odds, does it? No, love goes all in with everything. But we have to ask ourselves, right? Is such a gamble worth it? Is it worth your life? Is love worth the possibility of losing everything? You know, the more I live with the Easter story, with the empty tomb, with the words, "He is not here, he's risen," the more I appreciate just what a huge and utterly risky gamble this whole business was from the very start. Everyone knows how the story of reformist figures turns out. They wind up as tragedies. Especially in the ancient world, you just can't challenge and defeat Rome. We're not Spartacus. Remember, this is the people. The Romans are the people who perfected the use of crucifixion as their preferred method of execution. And we don't do that anymore. We do something that's a little less cruel and more humane, even for our worst criminals. Rome was paranoid about gatherings like this. You know, you get people together, you get the rabble together, and you just don't know what's going to happen. For Rome, you could worship whatever god you choose. Doesn't matter. Pick it. Pick your god. As long as you acknowledge the true power that moves the universe, and that's the will of divine Caesar. So Jesus takes the biggest possible gamble I can imagine. He takes everything he's got and he bets it on an unseen reality, on a power at work in the cosmos that affirms the will to life, on a power that might reverse the will to death that is embodied by Rome and by every death-dealing, humanity-destroying regime that we can think of from the pages of history. When he started this business out in Galilee, he could kind of remain off the radar a bit, testing this power. But the stakes keep getting raised the closer and closer he gets to Jerusalem. And when he clears the temple on that day, he puts all of his chips on the table. And he calls Rome's hand. He calls the bluff of the will to death. And so are they bluffing? Or has this whole kingdom of God, this prophetic ministry of his, this humanity-centered will to life business been one huge, tragic gamble? And so when the women get to the tomb that morning so long ago, that their names are still here, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, they come looking for death. That's what they expect to find. A dead body. A dead dream. A dead hope. A dead love. And when they look into that tomb, what they discover is a question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? They don't find what they expect. Instead of death, they discover something incredibly perplexing and disturbing. I think they had Annie Dillard's observation in mind that this looking business is risky. So I want to ask you all again, what would you risk your life for? I think it would depend on what you see. Were you to see your loved ones, your children and family, subjected to the unimaginable, subjected to death-dealing, humanity-destroying powers, you would want to intervene, wouldn't you? I know you would. I know that you would. Love would compel each and every one of you to do that. But if death were all you could see, if that's the limits of your vision, you would have no hope of success. Death can only be overcome by looking for life. By looking for life. You would have to see, like Isaiah saw in that beautiful passage that Kelly read for us at the very beginning of our service today. You would have to see a vision of a world that is new. A new heavens and a new earth. A vision of rejoicing and delight. Of a vision of gladness. A vision of joy. A vision where children don't die before their time. And old persons enjoy vitality. You would have to see a vision of dwelling. And a vision of building. And a vision of eating. And a vision of drinking. A vision without tears, a vision without alienation, without calamity, without depression, without cancer, without disease, without despair. You would have to see a vision of blessing and peace and harmony and wholeness. A vision that sees that love is the power that holds the universe together. And it moves life forward and it raises the dead. Seeing that vision clearly, Jesus risked it all. He risked it for you. He risked it for me. He risked it for every human being like him who was to come so that we too might see and look for life. And brothers and sisters, in a world that continually sees and creates death, this is the vision that we need. This is a vision that you need and that I need and that we all need. And today, of all days, this is good news. This is good news. This looking business is risky. But open your eyes and see and find life. Amen.
We sing hymn 315. I gave my life for thee as a response to these challenging words this morning.